And this is a different language than, you know, our missionaries speak. What is it?
It's called Gujarati.
Gujarati, right. So share a little bit.
Okay. So definitely a work of God, first and foremost. It started back, well, my mom's not here today, but those of you who know, she received Jesus in September of 2019. So about 5 months later, and the Gammons aren't here today because I was going to refer to Kyle because he, when he became a believer, he said, I thought everything was supposed to be smooth sailing. And we know that when we come into God's family, he begins to stretch us and grow us. So mom is in India with my dad, and now it's about March 2020, and I don't know if that's ringing in our world any bells about COVID. But there they are, and mom fell and broke her wrist. And so that's what God used to delay their stay there. And it got further delayed again by airlines shutting down. So a desire to want to just tend and help my mom when she's there in a faraway place, though it was her homeland and where she had grown up, they were living with family, friends there. Mom was hungry for Jesus. And so she and I began to just, through the WhatsApp thing, talk scripture. Well, an uncle, I call him an uncle. He was somebody known to my family since he was a child. So he heard my mother and I and tells my father, I know a woman. She sounds like what Hina's talking about. So again, the hand of God moving, because my father isn't the type to get involved, but he did. He gave me her phone number, said call her. I called her. Her name is Reshma. The ladies in the Thursday study have heard me talk of her. She said, last night, she said, I prayed. I cried unto God, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, is there nobody on this earth that will be here for me? My mother is aging, and it's just me and her. She said, I have no siblings, no relatives, no nobody. And once my mother goes, and the neat thing about her mother, super fast, is she is like me, first generation. She was a Hindu and came to know Jesus. Her mother was orphaned at 7 months old. She was born prematurely, left to die, and a mission hospital found her, and Scottish missionaries adopted her. God has a hand, and God has a plan. And Reshma says this about her mother, to try to fast forward the story. Her life was on the wrong track. She was a church kid, so to speak, and had not really maybe appreciated Jesus and a relationship with him the way her own mom did, but her mom's testimony was there for her. And so she cried to God, and it just touched my heart because she turned to him, not away. And then God would open a door for me to talk with her. So, you know, she and I just began to talk scripture.
So did you have to brush up on the language? Or
I didn't know, and that's my father to this day comments that I now talk in Gujarati with him. I used to always talk just English. But over 5 years, the Lord put it on my heart to ask Reshma to read me the scripture in the Gujarati language from her Bible. So I have learned words and things that I never knew, words that have cherished meaning to me in our scripture. I now know in my mother's native tongue, and he's used that to help me minister to my mom. So Reshma really just, she needed somebody to come alongside of her. And, you know, Greg in the first service talked about what is discipleship. And to us, it's pretty simple. It's if you love Jesus and desire a relationship with him, he is so faithful. He, you know, we draw near, but he just envelops us. And she had need to know that her failures would not limit what she could have with him. She just needed to turn, and there he would come running. So we talked about that relationship. We talked about trusting him alone to know what's best. Now, it's easy for us in America to think, okay, but you know, she is poor, very, very poor. And her mother, also a widow, so two widows, God opened the door for me to talk and minister to. Her mother needed her, but Reshma was 30 miles away in a city working. So the Lord put it on my heart to, I mean, just, I gave her scripture passages about honor God, honor what he tells you to do. You know, as I'm saying the words, I'm thinking, Lord, I'm telling this woman, trust you and you'll provide for her, but she would have to quit her job and go to this, from the city to a village to do so. Well, our God is faithful. She did it. She was like James in the book of James with faith in action. That's all I could think. And so she did. And wow, over the last four, that was in the first year, so about the last 4 years, I could stand up here and talk so much, but I will just say that her mother passed away in September. And I know he sent several of the ladies, though, a video that just blew me away. Her mother's grave site was being dug out by the members of the congregation. The entire church, young, old, the young men, it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And then she sent me a picture of the church filled to the rafters with people for her mother. Her mother's coffin was at the front, and there was Reshma at mm-hmm. the front. And I just cried because I thought her prayer was, am I all alone? In those intervening years, because of what God was doing in my heart through this body and the word and teaching me, I was able to speak to her about body life. And that church, it was closed because of COVID. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason. I would have just initially encouraged her back to the women of her church mm-hmm. and thought, why would God bring me when she has a church? But that church had shuttered. So she had upset towards them, and I encouraged her, no, you know, God's put this light in you. Now you go minister to them. Mm-hmm. And he did. He weaved them together. Mm-hmm. In such a way that even she didn't really know until, like, her mother's passing. There was another widow that didn't really partake in church the way her mother did, and she had passed a month prior, and the bulldozers and all of that had to come help that family. You know, that family had to do it on their own. But our God is faithful, you know. Mm-hmm. The ministry is one of just sharing the confidence and the hope that we have. I love 1 Peter 3:15. And I love Ephesians 2:10. So 1 Peter 3:15 talks about, you know, be ready to give that answer when someone asks you about the hope that's in you. Mm-hmm. And Ephesians 2:10 really is a life verse for me because it's all God. He saved me. He rescued me. He found me. Those are verses 2, 8, and 9 that we mm-hmm. know a lot. But I love verse 10 because it says he prepared a work beforehand so that we would walk in them. It's him doing it. It's his work. It's his story. It's his ministry. But boy, he gives us the privilege of participating. And I never would have thought that he opens those doors through the pains of our own lives, because it's only after we've been carried through fires mm-hmm. and storms ourselves that we can say with confidence to somebody half a globe away, mm-hmm. you can count on them.
You've been like a lifeline to her.
I really, it's been an, and so her entire village, you know, they've watched Reshma's life turn around, and that's God again doing this. She had two estranged sons. So I always wondered, how is God going to provide for her when mm-hmm. she just quit her job and whatnot? Well, you get right with God and miracles start to happen. The younger son got back together with the mom and had problems in his family, and his little grandchild she ended up taking care of, and he got back into church. The older son, an alcoholic, like bad ways, an alcoholic, but didn't need to go to classes or anything. I mean, she was praying for him. He saw things moving in her life, and he asked her, Mom, is it all real? And she said, you can pray. Hmm. And his alcoholism was gone. It makes me think of our missionaries. Mm-hmm. The two of the pastors up there, I think, had similar stories. There's a rampant alcohol problem in India. But the neighbors, the villagers, people started to notice. So now Reshma is sharing. You know, and it's like the woman at the well. She's just running around to whoever will listen and telling them, you got to know more about him. You know him.
And the Lord is taking care of her as she steps out in faith. I think sometimes we get the cart before the horse and we go, we'll step out in faith, but you have to show us what how you're going to take care of us.
And she did. She talked to me about, it was all God, because people who know me know that I too can be a little bit like, I never know if it's Philip or Andrew, but the one that's counting, you know, we got to figure out how to get the fish, and right, that one. So that was what God rescued me out of, because that used to be a lot of the way I would think. So when she started saying, but how, and, you know, I heard her wheels.
You almost felt like you were stepping out with her.
Yeah, because I heard her wheels, and I'm like, oh, I've done that. I've been there. And so I told her, I said, I can't make you do this, but I can testify that if you'll trust first, he will not disappoint you. That I don't know how he'll do it, I don't know what he's going to do, but he will not disappoint you. She got to serve her mother the last 5 years of her mother's life. Her mother had nobody. She was a widow, but she had everything because she had Jesus, and she had no beyond a 6th, 7th grade level education. She had brain oxygen, mm-hmm. deprivation. God saw to it that she had a daughter take care of her, and that spoke to so many villagers, because people don't have loved ones who'll take them in anymore, anywhere in the globe, not just here, right? So her mother got to be served by Reshma, and now, you know, it's an ongoing thing now, but it's great to see what God can do.
Keep talking to her.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you for these opportunities that you place all around us. We don't know how the doors are going to open up, but we know that they will if we're walking with you and we've sanctified you as Lord of our hearts. So we thank you for this life, and we thank you for these opportunities. In Jesus' name, amen.